Today's gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John the Baptist heard while he was in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." And Jesus continued, "And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As John's disciples went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." These are the words of Scripture. There are many scriptural passages prepare us in Advent for Christmas, which is a season of preparation. And today's reading is suggested by many liturgical sources and in many liturgical calendars. It's one of my favorites. It has so much meaning because not just as a historical text or a theological text, but it is a spiritual text. It's based on human experience, common sense, and testimony. I'm going to back up a couple times today here. And the first backup we need to make is to look at Luke's gospel when it is recording that John the Baptist, after he was born, had a prophecy by his father Zechariah. And this is what Zechariah said. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him." Now, Luke's gospel records that as John the Baptist grew up, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching repentance. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his path for him." Now, John's baptism was one of water, a cleansing, of being reborn. And remember that Jesus was about 30 years old when he went out into the wilderness to be baptized by John. Let's do a second backup even further. About the time of the Babylonian captivity, the prophet Isaiah told the people that the coming Messiah was not going to be a warrior king. He was not going to establish a great political kingdom, but instead he was going to be a servant, and not even just a servant, but a suffering servant. Isaiah told the people how to recognize the Messiah. For the coming Messiah, the Christ, would preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release prisoners from darkness. And now we can fast forward to the gospel, to one of the first times that Jesus got in trouble. And he got in trouble a number of times. It's recorded in Luke's gospel at chapter 4. Jesus at that time is recorded was in Nazareth. And he was in the Sabbath in a synagogue, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled it, and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And Jesus continued, reading Isaiah, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then it is recorded that Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And as you recall, he stood up to give proper reverence to the Torah and sat down to teach, as is the custom of the rabbis. It is recorded that the eyes of everyone were not just looking at him, but they use the word fastened. They were fastened on Jesus. And then Jesus began saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then Luke records that all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. So now we move to today's gospel from chapter 4 to chapter 11. John's in prison. He cannot baptize anymore. And his followers are asking John what to do. John recognizes that Jesus is probably the Messiah that has been promised for centuries. But he wants his disciples to recognize it also. John is also aware that the Messiah's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a political kingdom. So when John heard in prison that Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And how did Jesus reply? He again used the words of the prophet. To describe himself, he told them the same passage that Isaiah prophesied, which was the same passage that Jesus read from Isaiah when he announced himself. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who are deformed by leprosy and now outcasts are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to tell the crowd about John. I can picture Jesus, either standing or sitting, but with a loud voice, asking questions. And I'm thinking, he said, in a powerful voice, "What did you go out in the desert to see?" I pictured no one answering him, so he said, "A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes?" And then Jesus said, "No, people dressed in fine clothes are in palaces." I picture no one interrupting Jesus. And again, he looks out everybody in a powerful voice and says, "Then what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a prophet?" And I can see people affirming their heads. And then he talked about John some more. And he said, "Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is about the one specifically who it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you and prepare a way for you.'" Now, what does Scripture tell us? The first is that John's role, as prophesied by his father Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, was to prepare a way for Jesus, the Messiah. A way smooth and level and easy. Why? So that people at that time were prepared for Jesus. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of going to Denver and to the mountains west of Denver. And I saw the interstate that just was cut through the mountains. The old roads through the mountains were winding and up and down. And this interstate through dynamite and bulldozers just made the route so nice and smooth. That's what they're talking about. So what the prophets were talking about with John and what Zechariah's father was saying was that when Jesus began to preach, he had the forerunner, John the Baptist, and people were ready to hear. This being ready is what Advent is about. It's being ready to hear the message of Jesus, the message of the Incarnation, the Word made flesh. As I reflect on the Gospels, I continue to realize that the apostles were not just hearing Jesus preach a message, but they were watching Jesus live the message. So when they went out, they were to preach and live the message. When Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, the same thing happened. It wasn't a matter of just preaching and telling about the kingdom of God being near, but living the fact that the kingdom of God was near. You look at Paul and how Paul started so many churches and then wrote to the churches later. And it wasn't, again, a matter of what Paul preached, but it was a matter of how Paul lived that started these churches. We look at the Acts of the Apostles and the stories of Peter and Paul and the other apostles that were listed in there, and Stephen the deacon and all the other people. Again, it wasn't a matter of what they preached. It was a matter of how they lived. And today, each of us out loud in the Lord's Prayer, as led by these actually cute kids, "God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." In my life, when I try to really get into the gospel and really try to let it soak in, as a tea bag soaks in water. It became so apparent to me that the gospel does not lay on a page in a Bible. The gospel comes alive because people make it come alive, because Jesus is in their hearts and minds and souls. God's kingdom is in people and in church and spreads from church because of people who walk with Jesus, in Jesus, and work through Jesus. When I was growing up, I found it easy to point to neighbor and say, well, you do it. You're the one who takes care of it. You be the one who carries Christ into the world. But then I found out, as life goes on, that we are the ones who do so. Jesus is sending us, you and me. Jesus needs you and me because we are the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the hands, the feet to carry Jesus' message and deeds into the world. That's why we speak of the body of Christ, the body of Christ, Jesus' church. And that's why baptism and communion. I think we realize that God's kingdom really comes about one person at a time, all working together yet with the strength that comes from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And yet you and I are the successors of John the Baptist because we are to go before the Lord to prepare the way for him so that Jesus can work in people's hearts. During Advent, of course, we decorate our houses, we buy gifts, we celebrate because this is a time of celebration. Those of you who remember the old days remember that it wasn't blue, it was purple or violet, which was a sign of Lent, of mourning, of fasting. I think people realize that you can't really fast in Advent. It's very difficult. So now we've gone to blue and celebrate royalty and hope. So we have trees and garlands and poinsettias and festivities and everything going on. I know there's a Packer game today. All these lead us to begin to prepare the way of the Lord, first in our own hearts, and then to prepare the way of the Lord for others. When John was put into prison, he knew that his time was up. His work was done, and maybe his life was done also, and it was. And he wanted people to realize that Jesus was the one that they should now follow. They were no longer his followers, but to be Jesus' followers. And when Jesus told the crowd that John is not to be looked at as a reed in amazement, something to be photographed or admired and maybe enlarged and put on a wall or painted or something, but rather, John was somebody, he was a man to be listened to. And John was not dressed in fine clothes and dressed for a portrait, but rather he was God's working messenger. And then Jesus told us what he thinks of us. And I think what he thought and thinks of us gives us much comfort. For he says this, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus' message is very clear. You are children of God. You are worthy of God. You are to be with God. Make your choice. Be with God. The second point. When Jesus cured people, did he expect anything of them? And the answer is no. It was gratuitous love. It was shown over and over again. But yet, by curing people, Jesus showed us a way of salvation. But I think what Jesus really wanted was this. When those people, those individuals were healed and no longer blind or deaf or lame or deformed, they were able to see God clearer and see neighbor clearer. They were able to hear God's voice clearer and able to hear their neighbor's cries clearer. They were more able to walk to God and walk to their neighbor. And I think that Jesus expected each of them, when they were healed, to go out and bring the kingdom of God near. When you and I are healed, and we are no longer blind, we are able to see God, and we're able to see our neighbors clearer and do something about it. It becomes our job to bring God's kingdom on earth. When you and I are no longer deaf, but able to hear God's voice and able to hear the cries of our neighbor, we are able then to make God's kingdom come alive. When you and I are no longer healed and no longer lame, but able to walk and walk to God and walk for God and walk to our neighbor and for our neighbor, our task is to bring God's kingdom on this earth. when you and I are no longer healed and no longer deformed, no longer outcasts, but now made whole, it is our task to accomplish God's kingdom on this earth. How? Through love and compassion and mercy. And daily we encounter loved ones, spouses, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, friends, acquaintances, co-workers, store clerks, deliverers, bosses, employees, fellow volunteers, drivers of vehicle on the road, no matter how badly they cut us off, people we stand in line with, and even fellow parishioners. Everyone is searching for God or a God substitute. Somehow, everyone is searching in their own way for a Messiah, the Anointed One. So it's not our job to be reeds blowing in the wind or necessarily be dressed in absolutely fine clothes. But it is our job to prepare the way of the Lord so that people can get the message of Jesus, the Son of God, and let that message then enter into their hearts. I think the absolute minimum that God asks of us is not to be an obstacle to somebody else. I think that job is left to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are well alive in 2010. They do their job very well. They're card-carrying people. Let them be Pharisees. That's not our job. Our job is to concretely bring God's kingdom to this earth. Make the way of God's kingdom smooth and easy so that other people can follow Jesus and let the Spirit go into their hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we realize the love you have for us in giving your Son to us as God with us. Lord, we thank you for freely giving us the grace of your healing love. And may we do all in our powers, not just to bury ourselves seeing and watching TV, but see you and see our neighbor. Not just talk, but to listen to you and listen to our neighbor. Not just sit in comfort, but to walk to help you and walk to help our neighbor. Lord, in this season of Advent, we pray for the grace to do all in our power to prepare a smooth way for your Son to enter our own hearts as well as the hearts of others. Lord, may we extend your love to all we meet, and we pray for this from the depths of our hearts. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, whose birth we shall soon celebrate.